Director F. Gary Gray's first film was Set It Off, which starred Jada Pinkett Smith and Queen Latifah as bank robbers. Since then, he's directed more conventional thrillers, like The Negotiator and this year's Vin Diesel bomb, A Man Apart. His newest, The Italian Job, opens this weekend. Film critic David Edelstein has a review.
The Italian Job represents everything that many of us have come to despise in Hollywood movies, especially the ones that open between Memorial and Labor Day. It's another remake of a tolerable late 60s English caper comedy, and it features heroes who are thieves and con artists. We're supposed to root for them because they're cuter and nicer than the other thieves and con artists, although they'd steal from us just as casually as the ugly, mean ones. It's another vengeance melodrama, too. Someone double-crosses someone, and for the next 90 minutes, it's payback time. And if you're sick of product placements, and whenever I see a product in a movie, I make a note to avoid buying it, this is basically a full-length car commercial for the Mini Cooper, which gets to elude much bigger cars, plus a swooping helicopter. And here's one for us harried urban drivers. The Mini slides neatly into itty-bitty parking spaces while managing to accommodate the endless legs of Charlize Theron. So The Italian Job is a pandering, trivial, debased little generic nothing of a movie. And I'm still trying to sort out why I loved virtually every second of it. One reason is it's a great pandering, trivial, debased little generic nothing of a movie. After The Matrix Reloaded, with its ugly sets and long, shapeless chase scenes, it feels terrific to be back in a Mini in all senses. The Italian Job makes you think of words like snazzy. It starts with a credit sequence that gives you horizontal and vertical slats of Venice, mixed with maps of those witty waterways. Then there's a genius caper involving a house on the canals, a safe of gold bullion, a speedboat, and a bunch of other elements I won't spoil. As a kid, I endured week after week of that TV barbiturate Mission Impossible because I liked watching teams of crack techies snap things into place while staring at the second hands of their watches. This is the same kind of thing, but smarter and faster than any Mission Impossible episode, or movie for that matter. The director is F. Gary Gray, who made a splash in 1996 with Set It Off, a bank heist movie starring four African-American actresses. You could tell from Set It Off and The Negotiator that he loves pure action, but he loves pure acting just as much. His cast is headed by Mark Wahlberg, who, okay, doesn't always bring a lot to the party, but has a plodding, dopey sweetness that's very appealing, and that locked-in quality works nicely opposite Charlize Theron, who's one of the rare goddessy model types with a down-to-earth and funny personality. The team includes Mos Def as the explosives whiz with the significant moniker Left Ear, the smooth Cockney Jason Statham as Handsome Rob, the guy who drives the cars and distracts the birds, and Seth Green as a computer genius who wants to be called Napster because he claimed he invented the technology, which was swiped from him while he napped. The double-crossing snake is Edward Norton, who reportedly had to do this picture because of a long-standing contract with Paramount, but he's in better form slumming than he was trying hard in Red Dragon. Here's a scene where Wahlberg and Theron and Green look at the floor plans and diagrams, wondering how they're going to move gold bullion from Norton's safe to the gates of his manse.
So how do we get the gold from the vault to the getaway car?
How wide is the hallway? Napster?
Six feet.
Hey, let you go.
That part where the word stopped and the music and the vroom vroom engine kicked in, that was the big entrance of Theron's Mini Cooper, which gets put through its paces in a mock-up of a six-foot-wide corridor. And it's a harbinger of the beautifully designed final chase, which features red, white, and blue Minis scooting around L.A., while Seth Green's Napster plays with the traffic lights to give the good guys greens and the bad guys reds. Sure, the movie is engineered to make you want to buy a Mini. The first Italian Job created a huge demand for them. But after all, car commercials and films and TV shows have been feeding on one another for decades now. And the Minis are a hilarious non sequitur, scurrying around those fat L.A. freeways, darting onto sidewalks, diving into huge drainage tunnels. They're like Hobbit mobiles, only they're not a special effect. Director Gray seems to have made it a point of pride not to use much digital trickery. It's a sad commentary when a basically synthetic product like this feels more real than anything else in the multiplex. But reality in summer movies is relative. If nothing else, The Italian Job is really entertaining.
David Edelstein is film critic for the online magazine Slate. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our show was produced this week by Roberta Shorrock. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Sue Spolin directed the show. WHYY's executive producer of national radio programming is Elizabeth Perez Luna. Our theme music was composed by Joel Forrester and performed by the Microscopic Septet. For Terry Gross, I'm Barbara Bogave.